This is WLRN News. I'm Alicia Zuckerman. In Syria, gardens have been transformed into graveyards where protesters killed during the uprising against the Assad regime have been buried. In an installation by the Lebanese-British artist Tanya El-Khoury, audiences dig through soil in a simulated graveyard, then lie in the dirt and listen to the stories of people killed in the uprising. It's called Gardens Speak, and it's up through Saturday in Miami Beach. I spoke with El-Khoury.
The idea of having people have to dig for the story, like physically dig for the story, where did that come from?
When I first heard about garden burials in Syria, which was, I think, very early on during the Syrian uprising, I had this image that wherever we are in the world, if we press our ear to the ground, we are able to hear these stories. Sometimes the regime was denying that there have been any of these deaths happening. I've always worked with interactive pieces, and it was very much natural for me to ask audience to be part of these unearthing of stories. Yeah.
Have you seen these gardens in Syria?
No, I haven't. I've not been to Syria since the uprising, but I've followed it through a lot of reports coming from inside. I was in particularly working with a friend of mine who was a journalist living in Aleppo at the time, who was sending me some of these photos, but they have been documented quite a bit on YouTube and on other journalistic reports.
I wrapped the revolutionary flag around my shoulders, raised my hand with the victory sign, looked at the camera lens and yelled, "I am a Syrian, not a terrorist." Once I saw the video on the web, I felt I had contributed to the revolution.
Now, I know the voices that we're hearing are the stories that are told in the style of oral history of the people who perished, who died during the Syrian uprising, in the early years of the Syrian uprising. Who are the actual voices telling these stories?
So at the beginning, we've recorded the pieces in Arabic, and we recorded them in Beirut, and we've worked with various Syrian people because we wanted to work with the different dialects from different parts of Syria. Artists, musicians, singers, performers, but also just ordinary people who would perform the voices. And then we did a version in English and other languages. And the English version was also recorded in Beirut by Syrian and Lebanese, either artists or ordinary people.
Where did you get the material for these stories? Where did you get the stories?
The stories were mainly based on interviews made with friends and families of those 10 people. Also, they had the material that were left behind from the 10 dead people, videos or writing or sound pieces. But the main information was based on a conversation with families and friends.
So how did you even find the 10 stories of the people who had died?
We're very particular about not thinking that this was a priority for people who were feeling going through mourning. So it had to be a very careful way of collecting the stories, of building trust with certain people who are willing to tell stories, who had time, who felt that they want to share stories.
When the tanks started moving, my friends ran to get me out from underneath the rubble. But they were too late. Mom, I didn't die quickly. I died very slowly. But I was thinking of you, and my brothers, and my country.
And have the families of these 10 people experienced this installation, Garden Speak?
Some did, yeah. Some did in Lebanon, some did in London, and some did in Egypt.
And what did they say to you afterwards?
It's I mean, it's definitely, it becomes very emotional. I think one of the most touching thing that I've heard is that when people say that they felt that they were listening to them again, even though obviously they know this is not their voice or they know this is not their language either, but it feels that they are hearing them. This was, yeah, the most remarkable thing to hear.
Spending so much time listening to these stories, has it changed the way you tell your own story?
Not really. It didn't. I tried very much to remove myself from this piece. I tried not to think that this is about me channeling those stories. This is why I'm not the audience guide in this piece. This is why I'm not part of it when people enter or when people... This is why I'm not really around when people go out. Because I know that people are drawn into the persona of the artist. How did you get the stories? How do you get all of that? How do you feel? So I tried to get out of it as much as possible, but it was very much about dealing with mourning on everyday basis while working with that and trying to make sense or try to balance the idea of celebrating lives while also mourning unjust killings.
And you said you're more concerned with the experience itself than with large numbers of people experiencing the installation.
Yeah.
How do you kind of reconcile that and the need to get your message into the world and survive as an artist?
I've always done work that is more concerned with the encounter between the audience and the work or the encounter between the audience and the artist. As far as my fingertips take me, is it just a 10 minutes show? But I've actually done full pieces for 40 minutes, where it's only for one person at a time, and I was more interested in that.
Why?
I think it's more about creating a space where both audience and artists can share who they are as people. They share their politics. They share their ethics. I was interested in that more than interested in a space where the audience are sitting comfortably and other people are entertaining them or are doing something for them. This has been a case since I was in the theater school, actually. I was doing theater, but I never liked the relationship of audience and artist in theater context.
Why did you want this to be tied so much to audio in particular?
I've been drawn into working with sound. I'm interested in this notion of radical listening, of how you listen to people's stories or how you active listening, if you want. So it is something that I was drawn into, I think, naturally, but now I'm starting to make sense of it.
What does that mean to you, to make sense of it?
I mean, there's something about listening that draws you back to your own body, to your own experiences, to your own imagination. And I was drawn into it naturally in this specific performance. But now I am taking a distance and trying to see what it did to the audience.
What do you want the audience to understand after experiencing either of these two installations, Garden Speak and As Far As My Fingertips Take Me?
Well, the audience can understand whatever they like. I try not to focus very much on how I want people to feel, how I want people to think, because what I like about interactive work is that each experience is totally different than other people's experience. So I try not to predetermine what they think or feel.
Tania El-Khoury, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for coming.
Tania El-Khoury's installation, Gardens Speak, and another installation about the refugee experience are part of MDC Live Art's season of works from the Muslim world. They run through Saturday in Miami Beach. This is WLRN News. I'm Alicia Zuckerman.